Hey, welcome to episode 8 of Hello Church Season 4. I'm David Krausen.
I'm Mike Hernandez.
That is Mike. I am David. We're excited to have you.
That's right.
Episode 8, we're talking about next generation ministry. And I guess we should define that first.
Sure.
Next generation ministry is?
I would say that it's probably the 25, 26-year-old all the way down to zero. I also like to call them the now generation. I know they're called the next generation because they're coming up. But they're also now, meaning they need to be on your priority. They need to be in our hearts. They need to be in our focus, now,
right?
Because they're serving. They're in our churches. They're there. So
yeah.
Call them the now and the next generation.
Yeah, I love that. So I grew up in a church at around the youth group age that had the vision or the foresight.
Foresight?
Sure, foresight. Is that a word?
Yeah, yeah.
Foresight's
foresight.
A word.
Yeah, yeah.
Of student ministry,
okay.
Valued it. We had 15 to 20 students. We had a youth pastor at one point.
Gotcha.
Who was just doing... going through the motions.
I guess. Okay.
You didn't have a heart for it. A passion.
Gotcha.
We had 15 to 20 kids, consistent church kids.
Okay.
Nothing outside, no visitors, no growth. At some point that shifted and our pastor hired this guy.
Gotcha.
This magic bullet guy who had this desire and this heart,
sure,
and this passion, this fire for,
yeah,
student ministry.
Wow.
I mean, would weep over it, like burden for it, right?
Right.
Hired him and his wife to come in his family. And we went from the 15 to 20 within the first few months. At the end of the first year, we were averaging 100, 150 a night.
Wow.
Or we did it on Mondays. And then when we did big events, we'd have, you know, 300-400 kids showing,
wow,
up. And we were not in a big city.
Gotcha.
We didn't have a bunch of kids to pull from, like,
sure,
this huge population.
Right.
We were in a town that didn't even have a post office. They,
gotcha,
had a
yeah,
flashing yellow light.
Wow.
Okay, like 700, 800 people.
Sure.
Had a high school, though, and a middle school, junior high. People came from around surrounding,
gotcha,
cities to this. But the point is, we hired a guy who had a passion and a heart. We resourced it. It was part of the church.
Yeah.
Our students served in adult stuff. Our adults served in our youth ministry.
That's
our
good
youth ministry grew so fast and so big. We had like security and like, these are just people who attended our church. They're not actually security.
Right, right, right.
But they're,
yeah,
there. They're chaperones, really.
Yeah.
And they're leaders and they're small group leaders. And they,
yeah,
they're helping in the cafe and
that's
making
good
sure people don't throw pool balls at each other's heads,
yeah,
and you know, that kind of stuff.
Important.
Just, ministry was happening and it was relevant and fun and something,
yeah,
new every week and illustrated messages and it was age appropriate and it was really,
wow,
fun to come to.
Sure.
Now, how do we get there?
Sure.
How do we go from maybe 15 to 20 students or zero students?
Sure.
Or you've got one family in your church and they have a teenager and they bring them on, drag them to church on Sunday morning.
Right.
And how do we go from that to having this thriving student ministry?
It's good. I think that's I think a lot of churches are asking that question, especially in our,
yeah,
dynamics, 200 and under, like they're trying to figure out, they see it modeled in maybe the larger churches,
yeah,
around them, that, and that's even what's attracting families to those churches,
yeah,
and not to ours,
sure,
is the lack of, right? So let's start off by saying, A, we all know that God grows everything, like it's all God's grace.
Absolutely.
And how God does it.
Right.
But I think what took place, and I don't know your pastor back then, but I would say the thing that shifted in his heart that I've seen is when student ministry or next gen ministry becomes a higher value than it was,
mm-hmm,
previously.
Sure.
That's when you start to see a shift in
so
how people
your
are coming.
Focus.
That's right.
Yeah.
When next gen becomes what I say, gets a seat at the table at the highest level of stuff.
Okay.
Calendar, budget, events, facility, when they are able to have a place that's theirs and there's a value poured to them, we start to see the waterworks come and people,
yeah,
because teenagers talk, kids tell their friends, mom, I had a good time at church. Exactly.
Grow to hundreds of kids.
Parents tell
no
other
time.
Kids, man, that student,
yeah,
ministry was great and my kid loved it. They weren't kicking and screaming when they came out of church. They actually enjoyed it. So
yeah,
all of that can begin to shift a church's culture when they value the next generation.
Yeah,
it's when it's not valued that I see the other side of the coin where they put somebody in there who doesn't care about student ministry, doesn't value, just,
yeah,
kind of like, hey, I need you to get these annoying teenagers out of my, you know.
You deal with them,
exactly,
while we do our thing over here.
And,
yeah,
so I think what shifted was maybe your pastor was like, I need to find someone who actually cares about,
yeah,
that generation.
Yeah.
And when the leads care about it, when the lead pastor is like, I care about it,
yeah,
and the board cares about it, whoever's the governing system,
sure,
begins to value it, that's when we start to see the shift. And,
yeah,
God will begin to, if he can entrust us with little, he'll entrust us with much.
Yep.
So, but if we're not even valuing the one or two teenagers that we have or the one or two kids that we have,
yeah,
of course, we're not going to get more. So I think,
no,
that's where it starts.
I've been a terrible steward.
Exactly. I think that's,
yeah,
where it starts.
Yeah. So if you don't have anybody and you're ready to go, you've got a framework we've kind of put together. It's
That's right.
Just some steps that if you're taking notes, take some notes. I think you can walk through some of the stuff. If you have a student ministry, I think the stuff we chat about will inspire you maybe to look at some things a little differently, maybe take a different approach, maybe shift the way you're doing it. And it's kind of like one of those things where if you don't go back and evaluate things and you don't know what knobs to turn and which dials to push to see growth happen and make change, maybe it's some small tweaks you can make to make your youth ministry just flourish.
Sure.
And so let's start. Let's start with the I don't have anybody.
Sure.
I want it. Where do we go?
I'll take one step back and go, look, if you're watching this as the lead pastor and there isn't anybody on the, you know, the radar, there's not a parent, there's not a youth pastor, not a volunteer, but you've got a teenager or two and you're like, first of all, we want to tell you, it's not your full responsibility to make sure that that teenager or that next generation is fully discipled by you.
Sure.
Like you have a thing called parents in your church.
And God put that in place.
Exactly. That is biblical. Like you've said many times, like it's biblical that we, as parents, I have kids. I have two teenagers in my house now.
Okay.
Oh, pray for me.
Wow.
I have two teenagers in my house now. But anyways, like it is our job as the parents. And so I would encourage any lead pastor, any staff setup that's trying to be a church plant, whatever. You don't have this on your purview yet. It's not there for a student ministry to develop. I would encourage you then equip your parents.
Yeah.
Be in that lane first. Like equip the heck out of your parents. That's right.
Yeah.
Create small groups around that. Just get your sermon prep, thinking through how you're going to equip parents, allowing that environment to begin to foster and to play out. That way you start the conversation and the ball rolling of a future student ministry.
Sure.
But I would say if you don't have anybody on the radar right now and you're going, but I have these people in my church.
Don't ignore that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't ignore it. Pour some resources in them and invite them to, as a parent, equip the parents. That's what we came to say. And then I want to say this. As we start this conversation in student ministry, they have to be valued. They have to be at the highest level of all aspects of the church.
The students.
That's right. The students in the mindset. And where we want to see this play out in the future is I want to behave like I want to become. So I may not have a student ministry of 50 or 10 or 12, but I'm going to begin to behave. And that's why I say I invite them to the table. I'm thinking about them constantly, these students, the next gen. I'm going to begin to behave as if we do. Like, for example, we bought kids check-in machines before we had kids.
Wow.
And so we're like, we know we're going to get kids.
One of those speak it as
that's
though
right.
it were or aren't or how's it go? Just call those things are that,
that aren't.
That aren't
that
as though
be.
They are.
Yeah,
wait,
so they
how
are.
Does it go?
That's it. You got it.
Google it. It's in the Bible.
It's somewhere in there. But exactly, that's it. We want to behave like we want to become. And so that was an area that we did that in. And so I encourage you, at the beginning of this, you may not have this huge, you know, student ministry or next gen, you know, movement.
Yeah.
Begin to behave like you want to become.
Act like it exists.
Exactly. Invite them on there. So now we can get into the nuts and bolts and the practical. If you don't have a student ministry, you don't have a next gen ministry, no kids ministry, where do we start in creating that environment and that conversation?
Where do we go?
Well, first, everything starts and falls and dies on this word vision. If the lead doesn't have vision, if at the very top of the organization, there is not a vision for the next gen, there will never be a next gen.
One. Right.
It has to start with vision. And then once you've got this passion and this desire and you see it as not this separate vision for the church, but it's something that the church has.
Integral, right?
That's right. Yeah. Then you can begin to write down a plan for your student ministry. And I start to say dream. What would it look like? What would it look like to have a student ministry of 10 students? What would it be like to have a student ministry with 4 life groups or small groups, whatever you want to call them? What would it be like to have a nursery or a toddler room or a elementary class for them? You just begin to dream up. What could it be? What could we see? What could we have? And the beautiful thing is there are a lot of great models of churches doing this phenomenally. There are a lot of great ministries out there that are thriving in the area of next gen. Yeah. Sitting down and talking with them and getting ideas like, oh, it would be amazing to have, student ministries that go on mission trips and change the world through short-term trips. Like just begin to dream up, have a vision for it. Let God speak to your heart and then begin to dream up what that could look like, a plan of what it could see.
Sure.
A nursery, all the different aspects that comes with it.
I love that.
And then once you've got the plan and the vision and the framework of what you think God's calling your church to and my church to be in the area of next gen, then it comes to leadership development.
Okay.
Now that's the key part. And I pray a lot of people into our church. I say that, but I mean that.
Yeah.
Like I've looked at people that have walked through our doors and they're like, hey, we don't know how we found this church, but we want to volunteer. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you how you found us. I've been praying for you as the lead going, I need a kids. I need someone who loves toddlers because that is so not me. Yeah. I love my toddler, but I don't love anybody else's toddlers. Right.
Like, I can't tell you how many times in our church plant we pray this with our prayer team every week. We say, God, bring the people to our church that are supposed to be at our church.
Yeah.
And we've watched God do that over and
He's
over.
He's faithful
and over.
That way, man. So yeah. So that's what that vision and plant, like you're praying, like who
you're not
be?
Praying about it?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And now you get into, okay, I've got this idea. I got some people in my church who I've cast this net to on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever you meet. And there's been a couple of bites. I've got a couple of people saying, yeah, pastor, we'd be willing to step in and help out in some kind of next gen role or kids ministry, whatever. Mm-hmm. Start developing, start creating a moment or an environment where you can pour into them.
Right.
Here's the mistake that I've seen made in many, many different environments. And that is we find the youngest guy who's barely out of high school. We put him in the role of youth pastor.
Like a youth pastor.
Right. We get this, we get the grandma and we put her in form of kids ministry because she just loves kids. And those aren't necessarily terrible strategies, but I've seen them really come back and backfire because we just put a warm body in those environments.
Oh, sure. There's no passion or heart. Or,
exactly. Kind of what you said in the first scenario. The guy came in and was just kind of going through the motions. He's probably just asked to do it.
Doing what he was asked.
Yes. Yeah. And so this second layer, once we cast vision and we plan, is to develop the people, pouring into them, inviting them to carry the passion and the desire that you have as the lead or we have as the leads to be involved in next gen. So you start dropping into their heart some practical things like, hey, we want to make sure that it's safe. We want to make sure everybody's got background checks.
Yeah.
Because this has been the area where the church has failed, like in the area of next gen, is we just let warm bodies in there and we don't protect our kids. So we're going to develop them with background checks and we're going to develop them with, okay, here's how to do this. Here's what we want done the expectations of ministry in the area of leadership development. And then once you've got this team and not just a person, but you've got a couple of people, now you can launch, whether that's a small group or a kid's class.
No pressure to start big.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Absolutely. You're going to behave like you want to become. You're going to be in this environment that we're going to grow, but it could be two people. It could be one person. Sure. That's enough.
Sure.
That's enough to start a life group. You and two other people. That's enough. So now you can start programming. That's step three. Start programming.
Okay, program.
Yeah. You start programming and creating events that are going to be geared towards specific age groups.
Yeah. What does this ministry look like?
Right.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. So do you guys, your church, you guys have, environments that are specific for different age groups?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. When we planted our church, we knew we wanted to have church with families.
Sure.
Kids.
Right.
Specifically. And students at some point. But the initial vision was families, young families. So we're in a 3,000 square foot building, not a lot of space.
Gotcha.
So we had metal studs and the landlord allowed us to do a lot of stuff. We reconstruct the whole interior, which we did.
Nice.
And when we did that, we made a very specifically a nursery age group room, a preschool room, and an elementary room. Now, those rooms were not full when we started.
Right.
We just had them all in one room, and we had maybe two kids, three kids, and they just did ministry together. But we had the vision. We laid it out, and we know at some point we see age-appropriate ministry for all of our children.
It's good.
Because preschoolers don't learn at the same level, not Bible and for an hour and a half together on a Sunday morning.
Like an elementary.
It's not going to work.
Exactly.
Okay. So we knew we wanted preschool specifically. They're going to do crafts and things like that and Bible lessons. So what we've done now is they actually all gather the elementary and preschool in our elementary room for worship. They do worship together. They sing, they worship God. Yeah. They do their big idea of the day.
Right.
And then they break out into their age appropriate room now that we've created that.
Sure.
So now the preschool goes to their room and they learn about go deeper into their Bible story, do their craft, do their thing. Elementary stays where they're at, and we have nursery. And we watch those rooms fluctuate now throughout the years.
Right.
And, one drops kind of low, but then one builds, and then we have a new family come in, which replenishes the nursery. And,
gotcha.
And then the nursery goes in, and it just keeps ebbing and flowing. And,
yes, but what happened was when a family came in, and they saw there is space intentional for my...
You care.
I care. That's right.
Yeah.
This church cares
about
you.
You care about my preschooler enough that you created a room for them to learn about Jesus in?
So good.
A preschooler.
Yeah.
Yes, we have an entire space for you. I have big TV on the wall where they do their lesson and watch their story.
So that, that goes back to, you gave that generation a seat at the table when it came to budget because you had to spend money on all that stuff. You had a facility wise, you gave up some adult space or some, you know, to give away to the kids, and calendar wise, they're part of the calendar now. That's what I mean. You as a church said, these guys are valuable enough that we're going to create space for
them. They've got budget, they've got space.
There it is. Yep. That's what the programming and the event side is. If your expectation as the lead is to, well, they'll just have to come to all my stuff that I'm doing for the, you know, 40 and older club, like they're not going
to
show
up. They
just
have to sit in the back and be quiet.
Exactly. That's not valuing them. And they totally read through that and go, absolutely. We're just here
to
be in the back.
Parents do too.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, so
we had this church event and
no one thought about what
do I do with my kids during this? They can't sit through this.
Sure.
Yeah.
I told this earlier. I said when we were planning this event that my daughter is invited to be a part of our creative team. She's 12 years old. So even in the planning of my sermons and my services, she's in the room and she's giving insight to what we're talking about in the adult conversation of the church. Well, what does a 12-year-old know about being married? Well, she doesn't, but I want her input and I want her face in the room when I'm planning those services to go, well, one day she might be married.
Yeah.
And I hope that she's married. And I hope she's learning now versus, you know, trying to learn.
I've got a friend whose parents just got a divorce.
Exactly.
How do I help my friend? Like,
exactly.
That's a perspective.
So it just gives them the layer. So you're programming and you're eventing side, you're thinking through and you're saying, I'm being intentional with the space, the budget, and the time of our church and energy towards that. And then the next step is fourth in the line of things, but it's a critical step that I see a lot of.
Don't forget.
I made this mistake as a youth pastor because most of my ministry, I've been a youth pastor. I've only been a lead pastor for the last 5 years. Most of my ministry has been in student ministry.
Okay.
But I made this mistake early on, and that is I stopped talking to my pastor. So he gave me the reins, and early on in our ministry, like very, very beginning of our ministry, we didn't do a lot of talking. It was just kind of like set it and forget it.
You've got your thing over here. Yes, I've got my thing over here.
And I find myself, literally, we had our own vision statement. We had our own everything. And so we're chasing down doing our own vision statement. And then I find myself going, wait, my pastor's, the church is going over here and we're kind of going this direction. And it made me uncomfortable. Personally, the other thing was God was involved with it. But it made me uncomfortable. Sure. So I met with my pastor and I'm like, Pastor, I feel like I'm out here and you're over here. What do we do? And so we created a weekly conversation that took place and that synced me up. We got rid of our student ministry vision and our vision became the vision of the house, whatever the church was vision was.
Wow.
We just said, whatever they're doing to students, whatever they're doing with students, whatever they're doing in a context of students.
Yeah.
And so I encourage pastors.
Sounds like a no-brainer.
It does. But
it's not thought about.
But it wasn't natural. It naturally was just to do your own thing.
Yeah.
And so I encourage you, if you're launching a student ministry for the first time, don't just find the warm body. Don't just get the people in the room and go deal with this and then forget about them.
Yeah.
Like you got to include, especially kids ministry. Kids ministry is probably the one most under-visible ministries because they're in there behind the scenes. They're not in church service,
Hoping the leader of your children's ministry doesn't come out and say, I'm tired. I've been doing this too long and I've been forgotten about and unseen and left in the back to be with the kids and I'm done.
Yeah.
And they walk away because that happens.
It does. And we're going to have a whole episode talking about church health and why that happens more frequently than it should. But with our context of Next Gen, I think having the conversation constantly with your lead pastor, with your executive, whoever's over the ministries, like there needs to be a conversation that's happening. I call it the communication and engagement piece where your youth pastor doesn't go off.
You want to move together forward as a church.
That's right.
In unity.
Like
we have the same. We're going to the same goal here, the same target, the same vision.
That's right.
And you might do it a little differently, but we're still going in the same direction.
Yes. And that's where you check
in. Say it a little differently.
Yep. And that's where you're checking in with your youth pastor. That's where you're checking in with the kids ministry is you're saying, hey, how are you guys helping us accomplish our mission together?
And how can we help you?
Exactly. How can we resource you? It is totally. And I love that. And so that's kind of after you've established the programming and what you're going to do, you're going to establish a communication piece.
Okay.
And then this next one is kind of odd to think about, but I call it collaboration. And you go, well, isn't that communication? It's a little different. This is where you get really intentional with trying to bridge the gaps. So I've been a youth pastor for many, many years. And one of the things that we discovered was, hey, we built this phenomenal youth experience, but it's so different than the adult experience that when students graduate high school And they go from this youthy environment.
Sure.
They go to the adult and it's like, I'm in a fish out of water, man. Yeah. This is so different.
Foreign land.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know the language. They speak differently. What's a small group? We didn't do small. Exactly. Smells a little bit. Yeah. So we had to intentionally begin to build what I call bridges to the adult service and adults to the students.
Okay.
And what we did was we allowed student ministry students to serve in adult stuff. We allowed adults, obviously, to serve in student ministry. And so we started doing this intentional partnering that's going on. And so I carried that into my church as I'm leading.
Sure.
We let anybody who's fifth grade and up serve in all areas of our church.
In big church.
That's right, in big church. They can serve on cameras. They can serve in the worship team. We've seen 12 and 11-year-olds lead us in worship, in production, in junior leaders in kids ministry. And so what that's doing is that's creating this intentional, I know you, you're an adult. It's not weird when I get into adult service. Yeah. So we've kind of broken down the barriers that can sometimes take place in the two siloed ministries.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've seen some churches have like the youth section for Sunday morning type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like all the youth sit together and hang out together. And I think that's fine. You've created a space for them.
Sure.
And you've said, man, we want you guys on the front row because your energy is like sparking something for the folks in the back. And this is great. And you're on leadership teams and we're in your services and we're watching y'all worship in your space. And we're inspired by that.
Right.
And man, it's contagious. I think for both.
I was
always invited. I felt like it was our church did a great job of allowing students to serve. I was able to serve on our worship team young.
Gotcha.
You know, I wasn't maybe the best at what I did, but I had talent and ability and they saw that and they said, and you're not relegated to doing this in children's ministry or doing this in youth ministry, like serve here.
It's good.
I have a place for you. I was a backup keys player. Or I played the drums when the drummer was out or, you know, whatever it was. Like that was really cool stuff. And we had adults in our team. Like we had a musician that wasn't out. We had a phenomenal band in our big church. And it was like, come fill in. We had adults on our team and vice versa. And why not?
Why not? Yeah. Why not?
Same church.
That's intentional with the whole bridging and getting people to be in each other's environment.
One of the things you talked about earlier too was like instead of like this transition from you're being in youth group and coming to adult church, obviously you've been exposed to it at this point because you've been serving and you're a part and invited into the process of Sunday morning, but also making kind of bridging the gap between the two styles.
Sure.
Making a big church a little younger feeling on purpose.
Yep, absolutely. We call that keeping us young.
Casting a vision for that older generation that might be there to say, we're not doing this just to be cool and relevant.
Right.
We're doing this because we're a now church.
Yes.
And that's young and that's old. And this is where we're going together as a church. And
I think part of the vision side of this whole conversation is why are we doing young adult in youth ministry and kids ministry?
Sure.
Is because if we don't focus on the next generation and we only focus on the generation that's older, the church is going to die. And so there's a very strong, we want to last beyond our life and we want our impact to last long.
Yeah, we said if you want to live forever, right?
That's right.
If you want to live forever?
Pour into the next generation,
replicate
man.
Yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's part of keeping us young is we say to the young people, like, come in and speak to the style of music that we play. And I know that sounds like crazy. Oh, because we're going to lose the older people and those the ones that tithe. But here's the deal.
That's a natural.
It is natural. It's a natural thought. But when you invite young people to have a say, I mean, it does bring, we would invite young people up to the front to worship.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we do that? This is the adult service. Can we do that? This is the big church. Yeah. And it did, man. It brought so much energy into those behind them that had lost this fervor.
Of course. You're like, oh, that's what it looks like to be hungry for God again.
Yes. It's a cool thing to happen. So I call it collaborating, like trying to constantly build bridges and ways that you can connect. And we talked about this before. In this concept that oftentimes in church ministry, when you start student ministry or kids ministry, they kind of go away and never come back.
Sure.
And so what I mean by that is your kids ministry meets during the adult service, so they're happening simultaneously, but the kids never see their parents worship. The students never see their parents worship. Like, be intentional if you're going to do this. And this is from a seasoned youth pastor. Like, be intentional with creating moments and environments where they can worship together.
Yeah.
Whether like that's once a month, a generational service, and you cancel. That's what I'm talking about. Now they have the highest level in your calendar.
Sure.
You can actually cancel family service. It's a family service. And that's so powerful to see the generational worshiping together on purpose in an environment. So that's one of those collaboration moments that you're doing it and it's intentional.
I love that.
Yeah. And then you get into the conversation of once you've collaborated and you're building this bridge, then you're just pouring into your pastors. You're pouring into your volunteers and you're thanking them. You're carrying them and you're saying, good job, way to go. You're helping. Look, you're—
how can I help you?
Exactly. How can I help you? You're celebrating the wins of a church that's thriving.
Yeah.
And what you're going to experience is, like we said earlier, teenagers tell other teenagers, kids tell their parents and parents tell other parents.
Yeah.
This church cares. And you start to see the momentum shift in your church. Now, if you're in an environment where the context is specifically like a retirement community, a thought that I had would be to maybe find a church that has young families and partner with them and saying, hey, we have the time and we have the people. You don't have the people or the time. We'll come mentor you and we'll pour into you and break down some of these church walls that tend to exist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a really unique way to kind of bring some unity to the body of Christ, big picture body.
Yeah, and allow your community to see you working together as
exactly.
a church.
See two churches. Yeah. This church tends to be an older congregation. They can become mentors for some of our, I know this in public school, they do a lot of like Grandparents Day and kids don't have grandparents because they're whatever, broken homes.
Sure.
Like these grandparents can adopt these kids and go to Grandparents Day. That's kind of a cool thing we've done in the past. So just encourage you, no matter what context your church is, your church can still be invested in the next generation, whether it's in your four walls, in your church environment, or maybe down the road, or being a mentor to a public high school, or being a mentor to a community church down the road.
Yeah. Love it. Is that what you got for your
framework? That's it, bro. That's it.
Adopt it. Use it.
Put it into practice.
Hopefully it inspired something for you. If you've got a student ministry, maybe you need to tweak some things. Maybe you're not pouring into your leaders like you need to be. Maybe you've siloed them and you're like, you guys do your thing. We do our thing. We don't cross paths. Don't get in each other's ways. Let's fix that. We are the church. We are a unity, a unified body. We walk forward together as a church. You may be doing it differently, but you're going in the same direction. So lots of practical stuff in there. Really good. We'll put some of the stuff in the show notes so you can look at it again. Rewind this thing. Take some notes if you didn't the first time. Share it with someone. You got a youth pastor friend or a church that wants to develop a student ministry, send them this episode.
Yeah.
If you haven't subscribe to this podcast. We'd love it for you to rate us. It really means a lot to us. It helped boost us whenever people are searching for things like this. If it's been beneficial to you, if you'll rate us 5 stars, please, other people will be able to find us who are looking for the same type of content. If you're on YouTube, subscribe there. Comment. We'd love for you to comment. We love when people comment. We can engage in the conversation. You've got some advice. You've got some tips, some things that you've tried, or maybe you've got some questions. We will answer them. We will comment and get back with you on that. That's it for this episode. Episode 8, Hello Church Season 4. We will see you next time. We're going to be talking about healthy church family.
That's right.
Talking about what that looks like, how to navigate conflict within the body, and how to create a healthy church family. Lots of fun stuff coming up on episode 9. We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us. Adios.